Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In headlines this Friday, May the 23rd. Pope Leo XIV meets with the bishops of the European Union, discussing artificial intelligence, migration and peace. Ukraine and Russia begin one of the largest prisoner exchanges since the outbreak of the war. And Cardinal Mario Grech meets with the heads of male religious orders worldwide, urging them to adopt a synodal mindset. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. Pope Leo XIV received the presidency of the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, or COMESE, in the Vatican on Friday morning. Following the meeting, Father Manuel Enrique Barrios Prieto, the Secretary-General of COMESE, spoke to Vatican Radio. Father Boris said that the Pope wanted to use his first meeting with the EU bishops to listen rather than lecture.
He wanted in this first audience to hear us more than speak him. And he said at the beginning, I don't have many answers, I want to hear you. So each one of us had the possibility of speaking, of explaining, of expressing concerns, and the Pope heard. He intervened a bit, but he mainly heard what we had to say. So we presented the main priorities of the EU. What is the EU working on? Like, for example, artificial intelligence, competence, competitiveness, also the war in Ukraine and peace was the main issue. The issue is also the problem of migration, asylum. And the Pope heard us and intervened a bit. That was so it was an inspiration, I would say, and also for us a very important moment to be with the successor of Peter and hear the voice of Leo.
That was Father Manuel Enrique Barrios Prieto, the Secretary-General of COMESE, speaking there to Vatican Radio. And as we heard Father Barrios say, the war in Ukraine was on the agenda at that meeting this morning between Pope Leo and the EU bishops. The latest news on the ground there is that officials are saying that Russia and Ukraine have begun one of the largest prisoner exchanges since the outbreak of the war. That's coming after their first direct talks in more than 3 years. Stefan Boss has more.
Ukrainian authorities told reporters to assemble at a location in the northern Kharkiv region in anticipation that some freed prisoners could be brought there. Russia and Ukraine each agreed after 2 hours of talks in Istanbul, Turkey last week to swap 1,000 prisoners. Although they failed to agree to a ceasefire proposed by U.S. President Donald J. Trump, the U.S. leader said the swap could be the beginning of something bigger, apparently referring to a peace deal. The United Arab Emirates mediated previous prisoner exchanges, and the Vatican also encouraged the freeing of prisoners of war. The release of prisoners was seen as a small sign of hope in an armed conflict that killed and injured hundreds of thousands of soldiers on both sides. Intelligence officials suggest this is by far Europe's deadliest war since World War II, although neither side publishes accurate casualty figures. Amidst the fighting, Russian President Vladimir Putin has now confirmed that his forces are creating what he calls a buffer zone in Ukraine's northeastern Kharkiv region. However, tens of thousands of Ukrainian civilians have also died as Russian forces have besieged and bombarded Ukrainian cities. There is also concern in neighboring countries that the war could spread. Poland, which borders war-torn Ukraine, said it had intercepted a Russian Su-24 aircraft performing dangerous maneuvers over the Polish airspace overnight. Defense Minister Władysław Kosiniak-Kamysz said the Joint Operational Command for Allied NATO Military Alliance Forces in Europe issued the order to intercept the aircraft. He explained that Polish jets located the Russian plane, intercepted it, and effectively deterred it. For Vatican Radio, I am Stefan Bos, reporting.
Pope Leo has also expressed his worry over the situation in Gaza on multiple occasions. Nicoletta De Rose has the latest on the situation on the ground there, as she reports another Israeli strike has come, and it's caused numerous victims. And the situation is that aid is still not being allowed into the Gaza Strip. Nicoletta De Rose.
23 people were killed by the Israeli strikes across Gaza on Thursday night, 10 in the southern city of Khan Yunis, 4 in the central town of Deir al-Balah, and 9 in the Jabal Ayyad refugee camp in the north. The attack is part of an offensive that has been going on for more than 3 months, according to the United Nations, and doesn't leave room for the necessary aid in the affected areas, causing a humanitarian crisis that doesn't appear to be anywhere near a resolution. Israeli officials say Friday they let in more than 100 aid trucks, including flour, food, medical equipment and drugs. The trucks came in through the Karem Shalom crossing, but UN agencies say the amount is woefully insufficient. The strikes that lasted into Friday morning came a day after Israeli tanks and drones attacked a hospital in northern Gaza, igniting fires and causing extensive damage. But Israel said it will continue to strike Hamas until all of the 58 Israeli hostages are released, fewer than half of whom are believed to be alive, according to Israel, and until Hamas disarms. In the meantime, no movement on ceasefire negotiations in Doha. Earlier this week, Netanyahu said he was recalling a high-level negotiating team for the Qatari capital after a week of ceasefire talks failed to bring results. A working team will remain, but the Qatari prime minister and foreign minister said a fundamental gap remained between the two parties and that none of the proposals was able to bridge their differences. Hamas accused Netanyahu of falsely portraying participation and attempting to mislead global public opinion by keeping Israel's delegations there without engaging in serious negotiations.
Cardinal Mario Grech, the Secretary General of the Synod of Bishops, spoke on Friday to participants in the General Assembly of the Union of Superiors General. The Cardinal urged the organisation, which is composed of the heads of male religious orders, to draw inspiration from the Church's desire for synodality, as Devon Watkins reports.
Cardinal Mario Grech, Secretary General of the General Secretariat of the Synod, met on Friday with members of the Union of Superiors General, or USG. The heads of male religious orders held their 103rd General Assembly in Sacrofano near Rome on May 21st to 23rd. In his address, Cardinal Grech said Pope Leo XIV has encouraged the Church to advance on the path of synodality, making fruitful the many seeds planted in the soil of the Church during the 2021 to 2024 synodal process. The Pope, he said, has already spoken frequently of synodality, most notably in his address on the evening of his election to the papacy, when he said, "We want to be a synodal church, a church that moves forward." Cardinal Grech said the Church has concluded the celebratory phase of the Synod on Synodality with its final document, noting that the most important phase is its reception by the people of God. "The protagonist of reception is the Holy Spirit," he said, "who acts in the depths of the people of God and gradually leads them along the path of reform." The cardinal went on to highlight the role of consecrated life in the Church as a form of prophecy, one which assists in the enculturation of the gospel in local cultures and societies. Consecrated life, he added, has long employed the principle of synodal listening and communal discernment for its shared life and mission. Cardinal Grech said religious orders also carry out a prophetic exercise of authority. However, he noted, religious authority has sometimes degraded into abuse of conscience and personal freedom, resulting in deplorable cases of sexual abuse. "Confronting patterns of abuse requires both sanctions and, more importantly, a change of mentality, style, and ecclesial culture," said the cardinal. Cardinal Grech then highlighted Pope Leo XIV's focus on the Church's missionary zeal. "In this new stage of the Church's journey," concluded Cardinal Grech, "consecrated men and women must feel entrusted with the task of being the vanguard of the Church's missionary renewal." I'm Devon Watkins.
And in one last bit of news from the Vatican, the Pontifical Academy of Sciences is currently wrapping up a 2-day conference entitled Cancer Research, Healthcare and Prevention. The event, which is taking place between the 22nd and the 23rd of May, focused on how science and policy can work together to reduce the gap in cancer care between rich and poor communities. Speaking to Vatican Radio's Eduardo Giribaldi on the sidelines of the event, Professor Joachim von Braun, the president of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, said that the aim of the conference is to highlight and respond to the stark inequalities in cancer treatment and prevention across the globe.
"Most prevalent, these inequalities are between the global north, the rich world, and the global south. For instance, in Africa, only 10% of patients have access to radiation therapy, the most important treatment. Then also curing and preventing breast cancer is a huge problem in low-income countries. But even if we look at Europe, Eastern and Central Europe have much less opportunities to diagnose early, which is so important, and treat cancer. So there is also inequality inside Europe.
You spoke about breast cancer, which of course is typical of women. Do they encounter extra obstacles in terms, for example, of gender discrimination?
Yes, there is still an issue in many countries that discriminates women, or the general perception to get breast cancer surgery keeps women away from going to the doctors, and that leads to early death rates. I, however, want to highlight a few positive effects. We have tremendous progress in the field of vaccination against certain cancers. So young girls, vaccination can prevent cancer of the intestines, and the early diagnosis of colon cancer has huge progress. So the progress of early diagnostics is what is highlighted, but we need to spread this more. The main proposal that comes out of this conference is comprehensive cancer centers. That's what we call bringing it all together, the diagnostics, the cure, the palliative support, in which also non-governmental organizations and the church can play an important role. So we have cancer patients associations represented in this the conference, because we focus on action and not just on science for science sake.
That was Professor Joachim von Braun, President of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Eduardo Giribaldi at an event at the Pontifical Academy. And in one last bit of news from Italy, this week the town of Cascia in near Perugia is commemorating the 125th anniversary of the canonization of Saint Rita. She's one of the Catholic Church's most beloved figures. And she was, of course, an Augustinian nun, and so a figure we imagine who's particularly dear to our new Pope Leo. Born in 1381 and known for her quiet strength and spiritual devotion, Saint Rita of Cascia died in 1457. She quickly became venerated for her example of responding to hardship with love and patience, and her tomb in the Augustinian monastery of Cascia has drawn pilgrims for centuries. To honour this milestone, the Augustinian community in Cascia is holding a series of events, including a meditative rosary and a special evening of theatre and spiritual reflection tomorrow. Organisers say that the celebrations aim to renew St. Rita's message of hope, reconciliation and compassion in today's world. That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our website at www.vaticannews.va. That's vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. You can also find us on YouTube, where we often live stream events from the Vatican. This weekend, on Sunday, we have coming up the possession of the Church of St. John Lateran in Rome. So that's actually the Pope's cathedral. So many people think that St. Peter's is the Pope's cathedral. Actually, it's the Church of St. John Lateran. And Pope Leo will be visiting it this weekend on Sunday in the evening, Rome time, taking possession. There'll be a mass that'll be live streamed with an English translation. You can find it on our YouTube channel or on our Facebook page. Many thanks go to Joe Mariello in the studio and Nicoletta De Rose. Thanks to all of you for listening. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock.